Institutionalizes the Passover, which they hadn't been honoring, and removes the idols. He just couldn't move these people onto holiness. The amount of time that they had practiced these things had sunken in and made them just their ears thick and their understanding slow because of sin. And so Lot is really a picture of Israel. And of course, the question is, why do some of God's people fall into the corrupt world rather than fleeing willingly from a society doomed for destruction? Because it just surrounds us. We're like fish living in a fishbowl of this world here. Section 3, verses 23 through 29, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroys Sodom with brimstone, which is an archaic word for sulfur. Sulfur ignites very easily. Let me give you some of the conditions. When sulfur burns, it produces sulfur dioxide, which turns into sulfuric acid. This is not fun stuff to deal with. No one wants to apply that to your skin in the morning. This is really rough stuff. When it comes in contact with water, it means it can be deadly if it's breathed into your moist lungs. It starts stuff on fire, and it burns, and it burns, and it burns. And I think I don't have the time, but there's a video that I have embedded in this program here that shows someone lighting sulfur on fire. And this stuff just burns for hours and hours and hours. It has this kind of strange blue flame to it. I mean, this stuff can really do a lot of damage. So here are some of the pictures of the sulfur balls, literally golf ball sized balls, that is found around Sodom, the area where they think Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Someone holding in their hand. These are some strange formations there of perhaps of things which I suspect just being completely inundated with sulfur, covered with it, burned down to the nubbin. But they find these strange formations there. Maybe you've been there in your travels. So let's read this section here, verses 23 through 29, chapter 19, once again. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Verse 24, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew these cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw and beheld the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. In Revelation 16, the seventh angel, the bowl judgment that occurs, 100-pound hailstones are being thrown to the earth. And burning sulfur, and we think about all the destruction that's going to go on in the tribulation period. When God wants to judge, which is, of course, his strange work, it's very effective. And I mean, it's remarkable that everything is burned up, that God had so considered this place to be so contaminated with sin that there was going to be nothing left. And it's really a remarkable portion here when you think about it. The Lord just so adamantly wanting this place to be gone, and yet he demonstrates grace toward Lot in waiting for this waffling man to make a decision. And yet his wife, who still has Sodom in the heart, turns back, and she becomes a pillar of salt. There's a commentary, the Bible Knowledge Commentary, made this statement. This pillar of salt was a monument to her disobedience. So with burning sulfur, the Lord overthrew the wicked cities and the entire plain in great destruction. Some suggest that Genesis 14, verse 10, when they're talking about these tar pits, could have been sulfuric pits where sulfur might have come up from the ground. But any way that it's done, it was complete destruction. And so the Lord mentions this in Luke 17, verse 29, about the destruction that occurred. And he makes this point, remember Lot's wife. He makes this point to Israel. This is a statement that is best placed in the tribulation period, where during the time of great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, believers and Jewish people, believers will come to know the Lord, will search the scriptures, and they will realize this is the time that's at hand, and they need to flee, not turn back, flee. And so he says this. His wife gazed back intently beside him, turned into a pillar of salt. This dense smoke Abraham saw was the burning sulfur. Here's the key point here. Though God judged the sinners in the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and God remembered his request and saved Lot from the catastrophe, very much like us being saved from a life destined for hell. The fourth and final section here, verses 30 through 38, truly a bizarre section. There's no other way to say it. Let's read this together here. Verse 30 said, then Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. So Lot looks over the luscious plains of Jordan. He wants that, and he ends up living in this cave here. Now the firstborn daughter said to the younger, our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that he may preserve the lineage of our father. Here again is just this warped thinking going on. They had been so surrounded by sinful living. Who knows what these daughters had seen. This is the kind of logic, wanting to bring children into the world, but in this bizarre way. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you may go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father, taking things into their own hands. When they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus, both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son, and his name was called Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called him Ben-Ami. Ami, really. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. Here's a couple of additional pictures, the city burning, some of the what has occurred or what was left over. If we look at this chapter, there are really four motifs or distinctive features in this chapter. One is God's swift judgment on the wicked Canaanites. And the second one is Lot's close attachment to this vile society. The third one is God's merciful sparing of Lot from the doom to come. And the fourth is the rebirth of Sodom in the cave. How should one live then, knowing how God dealt with the Canaanites? And we have a clear lesson. I remember Ken Daughters talking to us about 1 John as he went through his presentation. Do not love the world or the things of the world, for the world is passing away and the lust of it. It is dangerous and foolish to become attached to the present corrupt world system, because it awaits God's swift and sudden destruction. So let's go through a summary of Lot's actions here. He first pitched his tent near Sodom, but later Sodom controlled his life. He was moral in that he opposed sodomy and homosexuality. He knew great evil when he heard it or saw it, yet his decisions were compromised. He was willing to offer up his daughter's virginity to fend off vile men, to fend off vice. And this was an attempt to compromise with sin, but sin simply wants and takes more and more and more. As someone has said, sin will take you farther than you ever thought. It will cost you more than you ever thought. And it will keep you there longer than you ever thought. And that's the lesson, really. Lot escapes judgment by the grace of God, yet his heart is in Sodom. His wife is too attached to the city to follow the call of grace. And his daughter's thinking is corrupt in their later incident with a drunken and exposed Lot. The key is, in this final section, is as long as the Lord left Lot alone, he would seek to profess faith while at the same time living in Sodom. ultimately could not have both. Sodom would have destroyed him if the Lord had not destroyed Sodom. A couple of applications here. Jesus said if the miracles he had done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, the Sodomites would have repented. As it is, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than the cities of Galilee. This is where Jesus begins his ministry. He spent a lot of time in Galilee and headed there again after his resurrection. So this signifies that God judges according to knowledge, light level, and that judgment greater than physical destruction awaits sinners. Here's another application. Believers are shielded from God's wrath, and that God makes sure every one of his is not forgotten, even if they have to be raptured upside down. That's an old joke that Ernie used to tell. He said, in America, people will be raptured upside down because they're holding on to their Jaguars and their possessions. Little humor for you. Upside down instead of right. Anyway, it's just a little joke. I wanted to just mention one other thing here. It's a pleasure to do this chapter. I didn't want to give it to anybody else because of the crazy themes in it, but it certainly is a chapter that certainly food for thought for everyone, and so appreciated doing it. So I am done with the presentation, and we'll turn it back over to Fred then.
So would there be any questions, folks? And by the way, this is a good time to turn on your camera and your unmute yourself and join the fellowship even at another level. There's a question from Ed.
Who's that? No, that was excellent participation or excellent presentation, Ray. I was clapping my hands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.